God is good. God is good. All the time. God is good. Okay, I know I took you off guard there a little bit. But it is good to be together, and God is good all the time. And I need to remind myself of that, because sometimes or too often I kind of get zoned in on the negativity around me, and I start wanting to blame things, people, God, or whatever, when God is saying, I'm doing a good work in your life, and I want you to be thankful for that, and to praise God is saying, I want you to praise me in that time. And so God is good all the time, and let's not forget that. So this morning, I'm going to be bringing a message more about Thanksgiving this coming week, where is a Thanksgiving holiday that our country set aside to remember to be thankful. Seems like they skip over that quicker and quicker every year. They go from the previous Halloween to Christmas and totally forget about thankfulness. But I hope that we as believers here this morning and believers around the world is intentional about expressing thankfulness over this time, but year-round. And I would like to be able to give some time for you all to also be able to express things you're thankful for this morning at the end of the message. If the Holy Spirit doesn't lay more on my heart, a lot more than what he's given me here, I'm hoping that to be able to open it up for you all, to be able to express gratitude. Before we even had the Sunday school class, I was thinking I would like to just kneel in prayer. And then obviously we started talking about it in Sunday school class. So that kind of gave me an encouragement maybe to do it anyways. But as we're thinking about it, my title of my message is Living a Heart Postured in Humble Gratitude. Living a heart posture of humble gratitude. And if we're going to express gratitude and thankfulness, sometimes we just say, oh, yeah, I'm thankful, or thank God for all the good things. What could we put names specifically? What do we mean when we say, God, I thank you for being a good God? Like, what are some things? We said this morning, God is good all the time. What can we put specifics on that? And so I would like to just kneel in prayer. I'm going to kneel here, and you all just kneel there. If you can't turn around, kneel straight forward. If you can turn around, kneel. I had heard earlier that kind of went by the wayside here a little bit because there was some people here there was some struggle in kneeling earlier on. And obviously we want to respect that. But if you can't, you can't. But if you can, do. So we're just going to pray, and I want each one of us to pray quietly for just a moment here. And God, what are some ways that we can intentionally thank you and praise you this morning, this week, and in every day of our lives? Because I get in this rat race of life, thank you, God, for all your many blessings. Amen. And what God's like, what are you specifically mean by that? He knows, but to word it. So let's just spend a moment here in prayer. Let's kneel. Shine forth in power, and may it implant seeds into our hearts that we can go forth from here, expressing our gratitude to you in a more personal and meaningful way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Maybe we can start practicing that some more, huh? Anyways, living a heart posture of humble gratitude. And I did not have slides here this morning. I was struggling with it. My heart wasn't in the mood for it. And I kept saying, okay, I got to press through it. I got to do this. I can press through and do it. And so it kind of got towards last minute. I got slides together, but it's not showing up on my devices. So there was just some points I was wanting to, and I'll try to maybe word them twice just some phrases, some points that I just really wanted to be visualized. But gratefulness is a muscle that needs to be worked, just like self-control. And that phrase stood out to me a couple weeks ago as I was trying to process this message and thinking about gratefulness and how we can slip through life and we're just like, I don't know what to be grateful for. And that phrase stood out to me that, you know, we need to start vocalizing. We need to start intentionally, like we did here this morning, like, God, how can we intentionally express our thanks to you? How can we be a people that are grateful and to be able to put words to it? And I think as we put words to it and as we intentionally, as we interact with people, say thank you, or as we talk with God, thank you, being intentional, that builds that muscle of a grateful heart. Like we say, well, you got to be more self-controlled. You got to restrain yourself. You got to just say no, or we do that. We understand that. But I think gratefulness is a muscle that needs to be worked also. And Colossians 2, 6, and 7, if you want to turn there, there's three things there in Colossians 2 that I believe goes along with this title of a heart posture of humility, humble gratitude. Gratitude can come out of a self-promotion, but it's not going to be the kind of gratitude that God is looking for. God is looking for a gratitude that is coming out of a heart that is humble and that is broken, that is saying, you know what, without you, God, or without these people in my life, I wouldn't have what you want in my life. I wouldn't have what I have in my life. And humble gratitude. So Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, as ye therefore received Jesus, Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therefore with thanksgiving. And that abounding in thanksgiving jumped out at me as I came across this verse. But I saw two other things in this verse, verse 6. And I believe this verse is talking about humility, living, and then lots of fruit of gratitude. And that is receive Christ Jesus the Lord. A person that is humble, a person that is surrendered to Jesus, is a person that has received Christ Jesus. They're saying, I can't do life on my own. I can't have the blessings in this life that you want me to have without Christ Jesus. I need someone bigger and greater in my life. That is humility. And then walk ye in him. That is talking a life that is just living a life of humility. And as we humble ourselves and receive Christ Jesus, as we live this life in him, we will see fruit of thanksgiving and gratitude coming out of our lives. So humble living and then seeing the fruits, results. Gratefulness is not just saying all the, and I want us to be able to capture this here. Gratefulness is not just only saying all the courteous words with all the right expressions. It's not just simply doing that, but it's living your life with a heart posture of humility and the realization that what we have and experience is not because of us, but because of his love and generosity. So the heart posture is what I'm saying is a life that is humble and realizing that what we have and the blessings we have is not because of us, it's because of his love and generosity. I believe there are people out here that have learned good courtesy, good manners, and they express thankfulness, and that is good. But I believe it needs to go deeper for us as believers this morning, that it's a heart posture of humility and realizing that I am nothing without God's presence in my life and his blessings in my life of people around us. And as we live that out, I believe then, yes, it will be vocalized. Yes. But it needs to, that vocalization needs to come from something deeper. A heart posture is what I'm trying to get here this morning. Another thing to keep in mind is that trials come, and trials will come. We all have trials, and they are part of our lives, and they will come. And when they do come, they lay heavy on our shoulders. Each one of us recognize that too. Even as young people, you all have your trials, your struggles, your things that you got to work through. Whatever it may be, trying to find your convictions, trying to find your footing in life, everyday life, knowing where God wants you to be, or whatever it can be. And they can lay heavy on our shoulders. It can curve us inward. These difficulties and trials can curve us inward and make it very difficult for us to look upward. As trials come, they get heavy, and they tend to turn our focus and our shoulders inward, and to where it's an inward focus, and it's very difficult to reverse that, to look upward. And there's this phrase by Brittany Allen. She said that even among our anxieties and supplications lies a place for giving thanks to God. So as these trials come heavy, and we say, I don't know what to even be thankful for. I don't feel a heart of gratitude this morning. Stop and say, God, is there a place in the midst of this anxiety and supplications that I can express gratitude to you? Maybe even to a person. Where can I, or what word can I put that can be express gratitude to you or to a person next to me? That helps to reverse that inward bend that trials and difficulties can tend to do to our lives. There has been times, many, many times in my life, where as trials got heavy and things looked very depressing, and they almost seemed like there was no light at the end of the tunnel, and I would start just wanting to vocalize complaints like the children of Israel so often did. The Holy Spirit stopped me different times and said, really? Do you want to say that? Because he would start reminding me of those little times where he was faithful, where he showed up, and where he was good. And I'm like, I don't want to express that negativity, because God, you were there. And that helped to stop me in my tracks. And I'm thankful for that, even though my flesh was really wanting to express some things that I was feeling in my heart. But the Holy Spirit was faithful. A heart of gratitude and a heart of praise walk hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other, because they both source from the same presence, Jesus. Heart of thanks, gratitude, and a heart of praise walk hand in hand, because they both source from the same presence, Jesus. 1 Peter 2:9. I'm going to read it in the NLT, but you can look it up if you want to, if you have KJV. But there are four reasons. Because of Jesus, we as children of God have a fourfold reason for thankfulness and praise. And I see them here in this verse of 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9 goes like this: but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Those four reasons are why we, this morning, as believers, can be a thankful, praiseworthy people, or a praise-giving people, a thankful and a praise-giving people, because of the four things. We are a chosen people. We are no longer an outcast. We are a chosen people. We are no longer alone. We are a chosen people this morning. Hallelujah. We have something to glorify God for this morning, because he looked down and he said, I called you. You said yes. I choose you to be my daughter, my son this morning. God is saying, you're chosen. The next one, we have been given a place in royalty. I think today, maybe we don't as much as it was in years ago, there was levels and there was, I thought about it this morning, I can't say it now. There were levels of people. There was, people were placed in categories. And you had your royal people, you had your common people, and you had your slaves. And God's saying, you are my royal people. I have given you everything. You are my son and daughter. I have given you my kingdom. I have even placed you as Jesus being your brother. Thankful. Praiseworthy. God is that this morning. We can give him thanksgiving. The other thing is we have been called to holiness, into the likeness of Jesus. We have been able to be made holy. That means made without blemish. That means purified. That means washed. What beauty. What thanksgiving can be coming forth from our hearts this morning. And the other thing is we are set apart for purpose. We are set apart for purpose. And that is to worship and to serve. Worship and to serve. We have not just been simply called out to random and to whatever. We have not been called out to, now you're left alone. We have not just been called out and said, all right, I called you out, but I'm not quite sure what to do with you. No, we have been called out to purpose. More than just simply wandering around aimlessly. We have been called out to purpose, and that's to worship and to serve. That is a fourfold bounties for reason to be thankful and praising our God this morning. Some lessons. So I'm going to look at just some people in that have gone before us in Scripture that exemplified a heart of gratitude. One of them was mentioned this morning. Someone mentioned Hannah. But we're not going to start out with her here. There's some questions to think about as we think about gratitude, and they come out of Philippians 4, 6 to 8. If we want to turn there, I'm going to circle back around to this after we're done looking at these individuals here this morning. Philippians 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. Philippians 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. Says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Some questions. What does and how does gratitude affect our lives? What does and how does gratitude affect our lives? And I'll circle back around these and try to answer these here after we look at these characters. What does gratitude bring to our lives? What does gratitude help us to see in our lives? When is a good time to implement gratitude in our lives? All right, let's think about Job's life a little bit. This Job was a man, we all know him well. We've talked about him numerous times. You probably think, well, I just know everything about him. I just want you to imagine again, let your mind go and think about this man that had everything. This man was living pretty much the royal life for his era of time. He had probably farms, but he had so many animals, I'm sure he had to have farms. And he had riches. He had servants. He had children. He had family that was getting together for banqueting. I mean, he had the life. And he even had a good, perfect relationship with God. I mean, as a human, he had a good standing with God. And in a matter of, I believe, hours or a short few segments of time frame, everything was wiped out, gone, even to his own family. I don't understand how to relate with that. I mean, I say I go through hard times. You know, I say I have a wilderness experience, or I have this time of waitings. And yes, they are real for me, for my family. They are real. But to have that kind of this total loss, to say, God, I don't even know what I did wrong. God, I was living everything for you. Job's expression in Job 1, verse 20 and 21, shows that Job, what he resorted to. Job didn't just simply take all this in and say, you know what, I'm going to muster this up by my bootstraps and we are going to just walk through this and it's not going to faze me. Job didn't necessarily do that. Job didn't either go into total disbelief of God either. Yes, he had his questions. Job was just simply resorted to pure realness and asked questions and vented in just processing with God and with his friends of what was going on. He didn't put on the right face and shrug it off by saying all the right words. No, he was honest with himself and his emotions with what was going on. And then he said in Job 1, 20 and 21, if you want to look at those verses, the NLT says it like this: Job stood up and he tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and he fell to the ground in worship. So he was real with what was going on. This tore him up. This made him, his foundation shake. But yet he knew there was only one thing that he had to hold on to. There was one person, one being he had to hold on to. He could not give that up because he knew that was his only source. And he worshiped that one presence, and that was God. Gratitude and worship and praise was something, because then the very next verse says, he said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave, and what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. In the midst of total loss and grief, where you just fall on the ground because you don't know, have any strength to stand, and you don't even know what to hardly even say, gratitude and praise can help in bringing our focus to where it needs to be. Because we realize that there is someone greater that has supplied, that has taken away, but that is working all things for our good in this situation. Job said, I came with nothing, and it looks like I'm going to leave with nothing. But you know what? I cannot give up on Jesus. I cannot give up on God. Because somewhere Job realized that something was going to turn later on. That answers would come. Job recognized his greatest need of the hour, and that was to verbally speak out praise to the one in control of all things, so that his heart can be realigned. Gratitude realigns our hearts, our heart, to where it needs to be. Because we all have thorns in our lives, but in the midst of those thorns, there can be beauty. Let's look at Hannah, gratitude in Hannah's life. Hannah's heart longed for, and I'm not a woman, and I don't know what it's like to have those yearnings. I'm married, and I heard my wife's vocalization on children and her bonding and heart for her children, so I can hear that. So to know how to express Hannah's longing is hard for me to know how to express that. But I know we all have emotion, and I know that God designed us with desire. And so Hannah's heart, especially even back in that day, it was an honor to have children. Our culture today runs that down. That's sad. But Hannah was not having children. Her heart, her mother's heart was crying out. There was a longing for, a burning with desire for a son. And in the midst of this, she made an extremely hard promise. An extremely hard promise and stood by it, which was to give her son back. But she said, I'm willing to give my son back if just somehow I can have my heart's yearnings fulfilled. And she wasn't afraid to go to some great extent to vocalize that. To the point where someone mentioned this morning, people thought she was drunk. I mean, there must have been turmoil expressing from her life, mouth moving, expression coming forth, where Eli said, it's pretty early in the morning for you to be drunk. What are you acting like this for? I mean, had the preacher come and talk to you like that. I mean, that's some extreme yearning coming out of her. First Samuel 1, 27, 28, and 1 Samuel 2, 1 and 2, if you want to turn there. When it came time for her to fulfill her promise, it doesn't say that she flinched and that she'd searched for loopholes. Knowing humanity, knowing or hearing, you know, my wife and people and ladies, how they express their connection with their children, there had to be a wrestling and a surrendering again to some degree or another. But the Bible doesn't say that. But she didn't make excuses, but she resorted to something else. And these verses, four verses, give a little window into her heart of gratitude and praise. Instead of resorting to, you know what, I'm going to do everything I can to not have to fulfill this promise, she's saying, you know what, God gave my heart an overwhelming abundance of satisfaction of having this son and being able to raise him for a few years. I don't know the exact number. And God, I want to look at that instead of looking at he needs to be given up. But resorted to gratefulness for the years and the blessings she had been given. I believe we need to be honest here that Hannah would have had to deal with her mother heart longings. But yet, in the end, she chose thankfulness to re-advert her focus. And I believe that's the beauty of gratefulness. It has a way of changing our focus. It has a way of, I'm not going to get into all these points yet until after we're done looking at these characters. But think about these things that these people were going through and how they resorted to gratitude and what it did in their lives. For this child, 1 Samuel 1:27, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. And 1 Samuel 2:1, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. In the midst of her greatest emotional struggle of a mother heart, she chose gratitude, praise, and worship. And I believe that pulled Hannah through. Because she vocalized that. She put her thankfulness and praise and worship into words. And that put a guard over her heart. And she was able to walk through what she needed to walk through. The next one is Jesus. The one perfect example of who lived a life of gratitude and thankfulness and expressed it perfectly. He exemplified gratitude in the best and in every way. His life was a constant flow of gratitude to his father and to everyone around him. He expressed gratefulness for his food. He expressed gratefulness that his father heard him. Do we ever do that? Thank you, God, for hearing me. I think that's good. Thank you, God, for listening to my heart's cry. Thank you, God, for hearing the joys that you've given me. He expressed gratefulness for his disciples and even prayed protection over them. And even at the lowest time of his life, when his struggle could have been consuming him, at the Last Supper, he never forgot to express his heart of gratitude. Because that's where I can tend to mess up. When things are... There was recently something that came up, and I didn't know where else to turn. And I wasn't sure how it was going to end up. I didn't know how to vocalize very well gratitude. I tried. I'm thankful for a family that can help to avert my focus. But that's hard when you're at your lowest and you don't know where else to turn. That's the important time to start expressing gratitude and thankfulness. But Jesus was able to do that. Because it says here, Matthew 26:6. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it. And broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, "Drink ye all of it." You know, for us, we look on and say, well, okay, he was just simply giving out food. But for Jesus, this went a whole lot deeper because he was exemplifying exactly what was going to happen to his body. And he said, "Thank you." And he blessed his disciples with it. For us, we don't always know the situations in our lives and what the end results will be, whether they're good or bad. For Jesus, he knew exactly what he was exemplifying here. Knowing full well what everything meant, he still gave thanks. Jesus expressed gratitude to recognize that his Father was leading his life. He expressed gratitude because he knew his Heavenly Father was leading his life, and that was only what is going to give what was needful and what was best for him and all humanity. He expressed gratitude. Another one here is the healed Samaritan, the leopard, the healed Samaritan leopard. A man that was an outcast in every way, who had nothing. He had bad family lineage. His health was destroyed. He was outcast by everyone around, except for 9 other men that were with him. So there was 10 men altogether. But his life was bad in every aspect. Bad lineage, because he was a Samaritan. His health was destroyed because he was a leper. Everybody cast him out. If he had a family, he lost that. If he had a home, he lost that. He was in the outskirts of the city. Everything was down to nothing. Yet he believed. Yet he accepted love. Yet he knew that this Jesus had something for him, and he obeyed and he went. Why? They were crying out for Jesus, and Jesus said, "Just go. Go to the priest." Now, obviously, in that day, I didn't study again, but I had read already that for healing, they had to go to the priest and be confirmed that they were healed. But they weren't even healed yet. And Jesus just said, "Go." And on the way, they were healed. So this Samaritan leper, he believed, he accepted the love of the Savior, he obeyed, and he was restored. There was a verse in Luke 17, if you want to turn there, 12 through 19. I'm not going to read all of them for the sake of time. Time is slipping away here. I would really like to open it up just for you all to just put some words on things that you are having, you're being thankful for, maybe a heart of gratitude for something. I want you to be able to put some words on that. But Luke 17 here, verses 12 through 19, Jesus saying, go show yourself to the priests, and on the way they were healed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, verse 15, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus was a Jew, and this man was a Samaritan. He said, I don't care. He said, there is someone greater in my life that gave me something that was of value, and that person is going to receive thanks from me. I don't care what lineage I have. I don't care who cast me out. I don't care if the other nine didn't follow me. I'm going to vocalize this, and I'm going to fall at this man's feet, Jesus, and express my thanks. He believed, this Samaritan leper believed, that his supplier was from someone greater than himself. And he said, there is gratitude that needs to be given here. There is thanks. There is praise. And he wasn't ashamed to vocalize it in a loud voice. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I know sometimes it's hard for us to vocalize things. And even to vocalize it with some enthusiasm, with some passion. But when God, who is greater than all of us, when God, who has done a wonderful work in our lives, when God has supplied everything that we need, needs to be glorified. He wants to be glorified. Why else did he do it? Because he wants to be glorified. Why else is he doing it to us? Because he is counting on us to build his kingdom by vocalizing what he is doing in our lives with thanksgiving and praise. One more yet, and I'm going to wrap it up with the several lessons there. And that is the woman washing Jesus' feet. This one here. Now, this woman, I try looking her up, and the three of the Gospels says a woman, and then one of them said, and John has said it was Mary. Some people thought it was Mary Magdalene. But anyways, this woman was a woman that was in the Pharisees' eyes, a sinful woman. She was a woman that you don't get close to, and you don't allow her close to you. She was a woman that everybody cast out except for when they wanted something from her. And that was the only time they ever got near her. But she was a woman that Jesus said is sincere and is expressing gratitude. You could say the cards were stacked against her. The crowds were against her. They publicly shamed her right there when she was praising, or when she was showing her thankfulness to Jesus. They ran her down. I'm surprised they didn't kick her out right away before she even got the time to do that, but God allowed it to happen. She was unwelcomed. Yet her heart of love and gratitude boldened her to show her gratitude to the one that she believed in and who believed in her and freed her from her bondages and welcomed her with an open heart. This woman was one that, so often we would look at and say, you're worthless, you're hopeless, and we're not coming near you. But Jesus said, this woman can be freed. Luke 7 talks about that. I'm not going to read it all there. But Luke 7, verses 36 through 50. Jesus has some very strong words to those who were running her down, who were making her feel worthless, who were saying she was totally stupid. And Jesus set Simon straight pretty quickly, saying, you didn't do this and this and this for me, but yet this woman came in here and hasn't stopped blessing me and thanking me. Towards the end there, verse 50. Verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he saith unto her, thy sins are forgiven her. Verse 50, and he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. I believe when we can grasp, when the Holy Spirit, I believe that's one of the reasons why I started with prayer, is when we realize who is supplying our life and our utter emptiness without Him, we will be able to give a heart of true gratitude and true praise. Because He who was forgiven little loves little, but he who has been forgiven much loves much. Nutshell of lessons learned from these individuals. If you want to look at 2 Chronicles 20:22, it's an interesting verse. You don't have to turn there now, but think about it like this. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. I read that verse because praise and gratitude go hand in hand. A heart posture of gratitude can destroy the work of the enemy. As we are giving praise and gratitude to God, there is a flow and a focus that is going to God and who He is and His might and His power. And He steps forth and He stops the enemy. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord stopped and destroyed their enemies. Now, I'm not going to read Philippians again, verses 6 through 8, but these next several come from there. I'm just going to simply go over these nutshells here. Gratitude repositions the heart into alignment with the truth of Jesus. Gratitude repositions the heart into alignment with the truth of Jesus. And I believe a lot of that can start as we read verse 8 of Philippians 4, thinking on these things. As we think on these things, that helps to reposition our heart into alignment. As we express gratitude, as we think on the right things, our gratitude can flow forth and it positions our heart into the truth of Jesus. Next one is gratitude brings balance to one's life. Gratitude brings balance to one's life, bringing peace into our hearts. As we exhale the weight and the worry to Jesus, it allows our hearts to be lifted then by expressing gratitude. As we exhale what is going on, and then we express gratitude, it allows our hearts to come into balance. So often, as I said, I want to focus on the negativity. My eyes want to go there. But as I realize that, and I start expressing gratitude, and we exhale gratitude, it allows balance to come. Yes, there is wrong, there's bad, but there is so much good. Another one is gratitude brings a guard to one's mind. As we are expressing gratitude, we are realizing who God is, and He shields our mind and our heart so the darts of the enemy cannot come in and steal, kill, and destroy. Gratitude is recognizing who is truly supplying your life. Think back over those individuals we were talking about. Gratitude helped them to truly realize who is supplying their life. And the last one is, gratitude is most needed in the hard times, but is needed at all times. Gratitude is needed, especially in the hard times, but it's needed all times. But remember that. It's getting a little bit later than what I thought, but I would still like to open it up. Why not? I mean, you know what? What's going on this week? We're going to all be getting together, and we're going to be focusing on that table spread full of stuff, and we're going to be with family and whatever. Do we stop and just vocalize something that we're thankful for specifically? I won't let it go long, so hopefully you don't fall asleep yet, but I would just like to open it up. Why not just let it out? What God is doing in your life specifically. Maybe he watched over you this week and you saw specifically where he was watching over you. Maybe he spoke a rhema in your life, a word specifically for you this week. Vocalize that if you feel led to. I just open it up. I just like to just, I'll start it. That God is good, okay? That's the broad statement. But he is. And I want to just be specifically thankful for my wife and my family. They are a big encouragement to me, and I'm very thankful for that. Because I can be one that, as I said earlier in my message, I can kind of go down those bunny trails of negativity really fast. And as I am around my family, they rejuvenate me. They speak a lot of encouragement, and I'm just really thankful for that. But I'm also just very thankful for Jesus' love and his forgiveness and his working my life. There have been times where, even somewhat lately, where the devil was just really pressuring. And God has helped me just to be able to go in and take some steps to be able to help in my life. And I just want to thank Jesus for that this morning. So I don't know. I'll just open it up to you. Is there just a word you want to give quickly?